Today's scripture reading is taken from the book of Psalm, chapter 88. I'll be reading the entire chapter. O Lord, God of my salvation, I cry out day and night before you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draws near to Sheol. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am a man who has no strength, like one set loose among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, like those whom you remember no more, for they are cut off from your hand. You have put me in the depths of the pit, in the regions dark and deep. Your wrath lies heavy upon me, and you overwhelm me with all your waves. You have caused my companions to shun me. You have made me a horror to them. I am shut in so that I cannot escape. My eye grows dim through sorrow. Every day I call upon you, O Lord, I spread out my hands to you. Do you work wonders for the dead? Do the departed rise up to praise you? Is your steadfast love declared in the grave, or your faithfulness in Abaddon? Are your wonders known in the darkness, or your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But I, O Lord, cry to you. In the morning, my prayer comes before you. O Lord, why do you cast my soul away? Why do you hide your face from me? Afflicted and close to death from my youth up, I suffer your terrors. I am helpless. Your wrath has swept over me. Your dreadful assaults destroy me. They surround me like a flood all day long. They close in on me together. You have caused my beloved and my friend to shun me. My companions have become darkness. This is the word of God.
Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, illumine our hearts. Give us wisdom, Lord, as we understand your word. May your Holy Spirit also minister to us if we need to be ministered. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In this book, A Grace Disguise, Jerry Stitzer, who is a theological professor in one of the Bible schools in the U.S., describes the darkest moment of his life. In an instance, a tragic car accident took three generations of his family away, instantly. His mother, his wife and his young daughter were killed in that accident, where he was the driver. And he wrote in the opening chapter of the book, "Catastrophic loss wreaks destruction like a massive flood. It is unrelenting, unforgiving, uncontrollable, and brutally erosive to the body, mind, and spirit. The days, the weeks, the months, and the years that followed were extremely painful for him." And he wrote, "I thought I was losing my mind. I was overwhelmed with depression. The foundations of my life was close to caving in, I felt punished by simply being alive and thought death would bring welcome relief. He struggled with despair, with grief, with emptiness. He was angry with God. On one occasion, one of his surviving children suddenly blurted out, "Why doesn't God care for us?" And they expressed rage at God for destroying the family. And the book is about his journey into that darkest moment of his life, trying to cope with loss and suffering. Loss and suffering. We fear these two words, and we do our best to evade them. But these circumstances can be unavoidable because we do not have control over them. Our losses and our suffering may come in the form of death of a loved one. Earlier this week, I heard about the sad news of two of our BB boys, ex-BB boys from PHS. They have graduated. But we heard that the mother was called to be with the Lord suddenly, a sudden heart attack. So yesterday you had your mom with you and suddenly she's gone. And the parents were God-fearing Christians. A sudden diagnosis of a life-threatening disease can also derail our lives. A heartbreaking divorce, the loss of a job, a breakup brings much hurt and pain. And Christians are not spared from these life circumstances. So how do we pray in such occasion when there seems to be no light at the end of the tunnel? Should we even pray? Our passage today is what some commentators term as one of the darkest chapters in the book of Psalms. The psalm is a prayer of lament. It is a desperate cry of someone going through a very difficult time. However, this lament psalm in itself as a lament is unique. Because in many of the lament psalm, there is usually a movement. A movement from lament then moves to praise, but not so for this particular psalm. In Psalms 88, praise is absent. There is no assurance of hope that God will deliver this psalmist from his situation. It leaves us as an unanswered prayer. And perhaps what is the greater problem in this psalm is not so much the psalmist's situation. God seems to be the problem. God seems to have abandoned the psalmist. In fact, he thinks that God is the cause of his suffering. So we will approach this passage by first analyzing the Psalms. It will help us to empathize what the psalmist is going through, the dark night of his soul. And then we will draw some lessons and reflection. First, let us empathize with the sufferer. In verse 1, he cries out, "O Lord." The word Lord here in the Hebrew, in the original language, is Yahweh, the sacred name of God. And the psalmist says, "Yahweh, you are my salvation." Yahweh means God eternal, the God of the covenant, the God who has been a savior to my forefathers. And God as Yahweh, or God as the covenant, has a certain responsibility. He is supposed to save. So the psalmist's hope and faith is in this name, Yahweh. But we see the rest of his prayer doesn't show that God is going to save him. And the second part of verse 1, he tells us, I cry out day and night. And this is a heart-wrenching cry for help. Day and night, all the time, Lord, I cry out to you. It is obvious that the author is facing a terrible crisis. And the fact that he is crying out day and night indicates that God is silent. God has not answered his prayer, and so he is crying out. And then in verse 2, he says, let my prayer come to you. He is begging God to hear and to answer prayer. But God is silent. And then he tells us in verse 3, my soul is full of trouble, so much anguish, saturated with distress. You know, when you are feeling this way, you probably cannot eat or sleep. And that is what the psalmist is going through. And then he tells us in verses 3, the second part, and verse 4, he says, my life draw nears to Sheol. What does it mean? Sheol is the Old Testament understanding of the place for the dead. Sheol is separated from the living. And he reiterates the feeling of death when he says in verse 4, I am counted among those who go down to the pit. He is physically, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually drained. And some commentators, they understand these verses as an account of someone who is terminally ill. At the last moment of his life, all his strength is no more, he says in verse 4. He's on the brink of death. And then in verse 5 onwards, it highlights what perhaps is that greater anguish in the psalmist's heart. The psalmist feels that someone has set him loose among the dead. Someone has released the rope that he goes among the dead. He is cut off. The word cut off here is like someone being slain by the sword. And the person who has cut him off is God. God has cut him off his presence. He's not only close to dead, he's also far off, far away from God. And it doesn't get better as he accused God, you are the one who puts me in the depth of the pit. You are the one who overwhelmed me with waves that I cannot take. You cause my companions to shun. My eyes grow dim. You know, when your eyes grow dim, it means that you are going to die. There's no more light, no more strength or signs of life in your eyes. And then in verse 14, he asks God a personal question. Why? Why, God? Why do you cast my soul away? Why do you hide your face from me? He cannot understand why God snubbed him. And it seems that God not only didn't help, he is the cause of why his friends have abandoned him. He says this at verse 18. You cause my beloved and my friends to shun me. My companions have become darkness. The psalmist is alone. He is helpless. He has one friend who is with him, and this friend is called darkness. Brothers and sisters, this is the anguish, the depressed state of someone in very troubled times. The feelings are raw, intense, and painful. The sufferer wants to connect with God, but God is silent. And God's silence is very deafening. Most of the lament and the prayers in the book of Psalms end on a hopeful note, but not this psalm. It begins with pain, I cry out to you day and night, and it ends in further pain. My companions have become darkness. In other words, his companion, the only thing that accompanies him, is the darkness that he faces. So how does this psalm apply to our lives? How should one respond when facing this dark night of the soul? Should we still continue to pray, especially when God is silent? There are some lessons and reflections that we can draw from this psalm. And first of all, our prayers can reflect the honest reality of life. Our prayers can reflect the honest reality of our life and our faith. You know, the book of Psalms is known as the prayer book of the Bible. They guide the church, the people of God, in prayer and in worship. And the fact that Psalm 88 is in the Bible tells us that this is God's inspired word. The Holy Spirit moved the human authors to record down their words, their experience, their feelings for us. And the fact that this prayer was not censored or deleted as some sacrilegious literature tells us that it is okay to come to God and pray this manner. The psalmist here is not grumbling or complaining in disobedience. He is expressing his honest feeling before God. And it tells us that suffering and loss are part and parcel of our human experience. The prayer does not paint an unrealistic picture of faith in God. It faces life as it is. And it tells us that the Christian life can be unpredictable. It can be harsh. It does not always have a happy ending. And so this prayer tells us we can come to God honestly. It is okay to admit to God, I am not doing well. I am weak. My faith is not perfect. And neither should we put a happy front all the time. One commentator of this passage says this: any theology that is unwilling to face the darkness and turns away from confronting the darkness is a weakened and attenuated theology. Rich theology includes the pain in our lives. The dark times of our life has its place in our walk with God and in our faith. Second, the Psalms show us that we can find comfort in expressing our deepest emotion to God. You know, the Bible tells us that God is a good God. He is a holy God. And a good and holy God is not a creator of pain and suffering. Unfortunately, we go through the agony of pain and suffering because we live in a broken and sinful world. And sometimes we are victims of other people's sin. And though a good God is not the cause of suffering, we see in this psalm, God allows the psalmist to lash out at him, even accuse him. The psalmist is like this little child sobbing and venting and beating his father for the pain that he has stumbled upon himself. And though no fault of the father just receives the accusations in silence. The father allows the child to vent at him because the father feels pain that the child is going through. And if venting at him brings the child some relief, then the father accepts it. You know, brothers and sisters, sometimes the weight of our trial is so severe and we cannot keep our heads above the water. The pain is vicious. We cannot imagine our situation changing. We don't see healing. We don't see hope. The more we try, the more it hurts. But Psalms 88 show us we can come to God broken. God isn't afraid of our raw emotions. Hurting, broken, anger, all these feelings are welcome in prayer. You know, one part of the book, Jerry wrote that I found comfort in many of the psalms that express anguish and anger before God. I see now my faith becoming an ally rather than an enemy because I can vent anger freely even towards God without feeling retribution. The psalm is relevant to us because it doesn't paint an unrealistic picture of life. It is honest to address the reality of our lives and what we may be struggling with. It is also a comfort because we do not need to hide our feelings before God. We can come to Him in our grief. Third, the psalm highlights that prayer should continue even when God is silent. You know, we see the psalmist as though he's being ignored, he's snubbed, he's rejected, God did not answer. The last word that he speaks is of distress. His situation has not changed. The matter is not resolved like how we think matters should be resolved. And throughout the psalm, God is silent. But do you notice something? That no matter what, the psalmist refuses to let God go. Three times in the psalm, he confronts God. Come, God, hear me. I'm calling to you. I'm crying out to you. He may hurl his cries to an empty sky, but one thing he does is keep praying. And he will complain to God about God, but one thing he won't do is to stop praying. And this is the example that we see in this psalm. When God is silent, it doesn't mean we stop. I like how one commentator puts it. He says that the psalm is not a psalm of mute depression. Speech continues in the psalm. Yahweh is still addressed. Even when Yahweh is unfaithful as the God of salvation, even in the face of total abandonment, Israel stays faithful to his speech. Prayer should continue even when only darkness is left. It should continue even when God is silent and ignoring and irrational. Prayer should still be addressed to Him. And that is the example that we see in this psalm. Another lesson we can see from the psalm is that our prayers, even complaints, should still be expressed to God in faith. The psalmist says he's full of trouble, his life is near death, he is drowning, he cannot escape, but he's telling all this to God. He's addressing God. And this is what the prayer of a faithful is. It's not only in good times that we come to God, it's not only we come to God when we have something to praise Him, but it's also in difficult time in our prayers we express our faith in God. You know, so much so that the psalm tells that the psalmist actually has this intimate relationship with God, even though he is down and out. So we may ask, why pray? What does God know about our pain? The answer is, God knows pain and He knows the suffering that we are going through. And that is because He has experienced it. God our Father understands what it is for His Son to be set loose among the dead. God cut off His Son at the cross when He turned His face away. He did not save His Son in order to save us. Jesus understands what is it like to pray when the Father is silent at Gethsemane. Take this cup away from me. God did not answer his prayer. Jesus knows what it feels when all his companions abandoned him and darkness was his only friend. He cried out at the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus is the embodiment of this verse. Why do you cast my soul away? Why do you hide your face from me? If there's anyone who knows our pain and suffering, it is the Lord Jesus himself. You know, some mornings I like to go for a swim at Yio Chu Kang Swimming Complex, just across the MRT. And in case you don't know, there's a childcare center inside the MRT. Inside the swimming pool. And occasionally, I will see this heart-rending scene. You know, some of you have little children. You know what I mean. It starts when you are ready to leave home. Your daughter, who is normally noisy, now she stands silent, looking at you. Her silence says, Dad, do we really need to go? And then as father and child approach the center, childcare center, it gets worse. The little girl begins to sob. And then the father carries her and hugs her tightly. Big mistake. This time the child wails. As she grabs her father's neck tight, you know, her face on his chest, refusing to look anywhere, especially at childcare center. And she cries so loud, her message is clear, Dad, don't go there, don't make me go, don't leave me, don't abandon me. How can this be good for me? You know how much pain this is causing me? I want to stay home with you, I promise to be a good girl, I won't disturb you. So her grip over her father gets more tight. You can't get her off. And so how does the father finally get the child off him? Very often the teacher has to help. And the teacher literally, in some extreme case, prayed the child's arms away from her father. And he's forced to let her go. And so the child is screaming and wailing down there at child care center. The father tries to turn away. What kind of father do this to his child? What kind of father closes his ears to the tears of his child? What kind of father turns away and walk while his child is crying? The answer? A father who loves you very much. Loves you so much that he is also tearing as he leaves the center. Brothers and sisters, God knows how we feel, because he was abandoned in his darkest moment. So when you are down and out, feeling abandoned, pray. Pray even if you have to complain to God about God. We can pour out our deepest pain and emotions before God. Let us pray. I want to give us some time, especially for some of us. Perhaps you are angry for your loss and pain. You haven't quite reconciled with this. You are angry that God seems to be silent in your darkest moment. You feel that he did not save you. Brothers and sisters, Jesus understands those feelings. He knows what is it like. He has been in your shoes. He invites you to pour out your feelings to him. Will you surrender them in prayer to the Lord? Tell him how you feel. Heavenly Father, thank you for identifying with our pain and our suffering. You know what we are going through, how we are feeling, and although, Lord, we may not have answers to our prayers, help us, Lord, to keep coming to you, never giving up, to pray to you about you. And that, Lord, give us patience, that in due time we will see your hands moving in our lives. Perhaps not the way that we expect, but, Lord, in a way that we can find peace with you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please rise as we sing the song of response. Together.
There is no problem too big God cannot solve it. There is no mountain too tall he cannot move it. storm too dark. God cannot calm it. There is no sorrow too deep. He cannot soothe.
Please be seated.